Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, I'm so glad that you are listening with us today, and we're sort of moving around in our program. So some of you may be listening for the first time. Some of you might have wondered, got back and found out where we're at. They're changing us around, but we might have a new audience today. But this program is saying that we have the Word of God. It says, "Thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And so it's something that you have. The Bible says the Word of God is nigh thee. That's, you don't understand nigh, that means near. In thy heart, in thy mouth, and we can look at the perfect law of liberty, and so we say we have it, and so that's what we talk about on this program. Now, the Bible says there are many that corrupt the Word of God, and so you got a lot of corrupt translations out there. We call them counterfeit Bibles, but at the other hand, the Word of God liveth and abideth forever, and God has told us in His words, in His Word, and this is even in the corrupt Bibles, what His Word is all about. So all we have to do is find out what the Bible says about God's Word, and then we will know where the true Word of God is, because it points to the authorized King James Bible. The other day I was thinking, you know, we ought to call this the King Jesus Bible, because this is the one that the Lord God Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given us. And that's why we talk about it here. And we have the evidence and proof, while the other side, they talk about the originals, which they don't have, and they've run themselves into a ditch. That is, they don't know what the words are or something. But if you go by simple scriptures, Jesus says, "I have given them my words." And there's 5 billion copies out there of the true words of God, and many scripture verses about this. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And a stranger will they not follow," because they don't hear the voice of Jesus in these modern versions. And so they all come for a short time, and as the advertising stops, they disappear, go off the scene. But the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And so the King James goes right on, and more people read it today. If they read the Bible every day of the week, more of them are reading the King James than all of the rest of the counterfeits put together. So there's many, many scripture verses. You just take simple verses that tell you where the Word of God is, and it'll point to the King James Bible every time. Now, first of all, we have Brother Al Davis here with us today, and he is our scientist in residence, and he is showing about scientists in the Bible. We're not talking about originals, autographs, which nobody has, original Greek. We're talking about the King James Bible. Amen.
That's right. Well, and again, thank you, Bruce, and good to be on. Wanted to mention I was just trying to check something here. Yeah, we're on now Saturdays at 11 o'clock, and that's been a relatively recent change, and so I encourage people to let people know if they're looking for the program. And also check us out online at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and you can find out more about Bruce Musselman and his ministry there, and also past programs. If you missed some programs with the changeover in the times, they should be available there at whereisgodsword.com. Most of the programs there are listed by the Tuesday date that we had been on for some time, but we will be adjusting reflect the Saturday dates there. But basically we try to keep all of the programs available there at whereisgodsword.com. Well, and want to mention also that you can find some of the resources that Bruce talks about on the program listed there, in addition to past programs, and all that at whereisgodsword.com. I just wanted to mention something today. In our church, we've been going through a study here on Sunday morning during our Bible time before the morning service on basically the existence of God, and we dealt with the unbelief and the causes of it previously, and right now we're in a section dealing with arguments for the existence of God. And one of the things that we talked about recently at our church, I'm pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, but we were talking about, is the universe eternal? In other words, has it always existed? And we know from the Bible very clearly says, in the beginning, God, in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the earth, according to the Bible, the universe very clearly has a beginning. And also, it has an ending. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then he says in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holiness and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And this talks about the universe coming to an end. And this is these are things that the Bible talks about. The universe had a beginning, and it's going to have an end. And when we look at this, and we look at the world around us, the universe that we exist in has something called the second law of thermodynamics. And that's basically the law of entropy. Things go from order to disorder. Anybody that's ever looked at their children's room when it was perfectly clean and everything in its place, and you come back an hour later, knows what entropy is. That same room that was so nice and clean and everything in its place is all of a sudden now clothes are all over the place, toys are all over the place, the bed covers are all messed up, and you have to clean it again. Because things go from order to disorder. And what the second law of thermodynamics tells us is that the universe is going to wear out. This tells us the universe cannot have always existed. If the universe had been in existence for a long enough period of time, our sun would have burnt out. In fact, every star in the universe would have burnt out. And all available energy in the universe would have been basically dissipated so that the universe would basically be cold and dead. And all of this would have ceased if the universe has been around forever. All of this would have ceased to exist or have occurred an infinite amount of time ago. But the very fact that our sun exists, the very fact that the stars that we see in the night sky exist, the very fact that our world exists, the very fact that there's energy available for us to use to accomplish various types of work is an evidence that the universe had a beginning, because even physicists that don't believe in the Bible believe that eventually the universe is going to run down and it'll be a cold, dark universe that nothing can happen in. Well, that's the second law of thermodynamics. And so God has created this universe, including the earth and you and I, and then this world is tainted with sin, and rather than wait for it to run down, the Bible says that that there's coming a day when the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And then after that, in Revelation chapter 21, the Bible says in verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That's Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And so that tells us very clearly that the universe has a beginning. In the beginning, God created, and it has an end. These things will be burned up, and God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And that new heaven and that new earth is going to be populated only with those who have followed God, those who have put their faith in Christ as their Redeemer, as their Messiah. And the way that you can have a part in that new heaven, in that new earth, is during the time that you have right now. Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. you can put your faith in Christ today. And even though the elements and the universe itself is going to be destroyed, you'll have a part in that new heaven and that new earth, along with the redeemed of the ages and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
All right. Thank you very much. And I appreciate that talk. And our text today that we're going to talk about is found in Hosea chapter 7. And we'll start with verse 10. In verse 10 of Hosea chapter 7. It says here, "And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this." Now, the Bible says that the devil, the first thing out of his mouth is, "Yea, hath God said." So the devil's main job is not to work in the bar, but his job is in religion. And the main thing that he is going to be involved in, it's called the law of first mention, is to attack the and question the word of God. It's very simple. And so he has been working at it very diligently ever since that time. Now, it mentioned also here in this verse, it talks about the pride of Israel. That's another thing we know about the devil. It talks about him, Ezekiel 28, and it says he is the king of pride. And he promotes his false doctrine and the things that he teaches by pride. And he puts the spirit of pride into people and promotes false doctrine, false teaching, and false Bibles, false translations, because that is his spirit. Now, the Bible says that when we come to God, we come to the Word of God, we're to come in meekness. Meekness is simply means to be humble before God. We humbly submit ourselves to God, our intellect to God, our mind to God, our thoughts to God in prayer, and come with an humble attitude, knowing that we know very, very little. And our knowledge, according to the Bible in the Old Testament, is brutish. That means we are very limited in intelligence and knowledge. But God knows everything. And right at the time when I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking one individual that is well known, and I am not here to just attack individuals, but I do occasionally because it's where they attack in the Word of God. But today I'll mention, at least I'll mention what he said. He said, when you read the King James Bible, you're reading what God says. Now, I agree with that 100% that this individual has said, but then the same person corrects it over and over and over again. Well, the simple logic is that if he said God said it and he corrected it, then he must be smarter than God. Could you have a comment on that, Brother Davis?
Well, yeah, I think absolutely, and that's where the pride element, because if you think about it, what is it that got the devil in trouble in the first place? Wasn't it pride? You know, I always tell people the devil had eye trouble because the center of pride is I, the center of sin is I, and what does iniquity start with? I, and he kept saying, I will, and I think pride, it's the center of pride as well. And I that's what I think prompts people, because they think, I know better than God. You know, I know better than somebody who's led by the Holy Spirit because I'm smarter, I'm a scholar. And yeah, it's just the pride. I think human pride, the devil feeds that and gets people to correct God's word, correct God's mistakes in their mind sometimes.
You know, I question the fact there's individuals now. I noticed lately I haven't heard too much of it, but individuals up there shouting every word of the Bible is true. And then a few minutes later, this is an unfortunate translation, a better reading is. And some of them that were doing this, I question whether they could even identify a Hebrew letter if they were in court. You know, Russell, the star of Jehovah's Witnesses, he was in court, and the lawyer said to in court, the guy that founded Jehovah's Witness, he says, "Do you know Greek?" And Russell says, "Yeah, I know Greek, you know." And then he says, "Well, would you please, quote, give us some of the letters of the Greek alphabet, you know, and give the Greek alphabet." He couldn't do it. But I think some of the Bible correctors, I wonder, and when it comes to the Hebrew, I hear guys that were correcting the Hebrew. I question whether they even could identify a Hebrew letter, you know. The pride is what motivates this thing. And somebody, you know, they get one of these corrupt translations and they get on there. And, you know, some of them, Now, we've been talking about this book, Which Version or Which Bible Would Jesus Use? By Floyd Nolan Jones. No, that's not the one.
Jack McElroy.
By Jack McElroy. But Floyd Nolan Jones wrote a good, his was Which Version is the Bible? He wrote that, and that is an excellent book, too, with documented evidence. I recommend you get the book, Which Version is the Bible, by Floyd Nolan Jones, and get that down, and then the one by McElroy, which is Which Version Would Jesus Use? You know, and get out of your bubble. You know, I'm not saying that you, as a Christian, should read everything, but I mean, you're a preacher, and I'm telling you, you know, years ago, I've been teaching for the last 30 years young men for the ministry, and I thought to myself, I better get it right. I'm going to answer to God. The Bible says if you're a teacher, you better get it right, because you're going to answer to the Lord for that. And so I began to read, and I thought at the time, and I'm not saying everybody should do this, but some of you preachers ought to start. I read every book for the last 30 years, pro and con. And I can discuss them, and we talk about it here. Now, I'm saying, when you're listening to me, I'm not saying that you have to automatically believe everything I'm saying, but we're giving you books, and you ought to check them out. The people that we recommend, they have been taught by the Chaos Cult, which is the cult out there that you're listening to on the radio with all these modern versions. They know it. They've studied the languages. They are expert on it, the books that I am recommending. And you ought to see what they say. They've got the evidence documented, and people are going to say everything against them possible and bring up every possible error they ever said. But, brother, I've read the books, and I've read both sides, and I have continued to read everything I could on both sides of the issue. So we know what we're talking about. Now, the thing is, people are bloviating today on the radio, and they don't even know what they're talking about. Now, McElroy, in this latest book, Which Version Would Jesus Use, he's caught some of these people, and I put it bluntly, with their pants down, and I'm using contemporary language. He has some well-known individuals recommending, like, the new ASV, and then they recommend the NIV, and he shows where they disagree with each other. I mean, these two just constantly disagree with each other, and of course they do. There's 23 editions of Nestle's Greek text. That means texts that have been changed constantly. Now they got a new ASV, New American Standard, based on the 23rd edition. NIV is the 24th edition. Now they're up to the 27th edition. And they put anything and everything in these things. Well, if I read the Bible, I want to read what God says. I don't want to read what a communist philosopher says or the latest theory of some liberal says, or what a Unitarian says. You know, the lexicons that they're using for these modern versions are put out by Unitarians, and it's documented. It's there's a book called Hazardous Materials, about 400 pages of documented evidence, quoting these individuals with the references and the evidence and the proof that many of them were Unitarians. They deny that Jesus Christ is God. And the Bible teaches it from cover to cover. We talked about that many times. And they deny it. And that's what are put into these modern versions. And that's what people use to correct your King James Bible with. So it says the pride of Israel. Devil is the king of pride. That's what's keeping this whole thing going. You know, I as I think about this and I listen to these people, I think to myself, what in the world? Why don't they read some of the books? Why don't they know what they're talking about? The facts are out there. You know what the problem is? Pride. That's the spirit of Satan, the spirit of the Holy Spirit. He will lead you to be humble, and lead you to have a humble heart before the God. And the Bible says the way we come to the Word of God is in meekness, and they do not. Now it says, the pride of Israel testified to his face, they do not return to the Lord their God and seek him for all this. Ephraim also like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. Now look at it. It says they're a silly dove because the Israelis, the Jewish people in the past, they went to Egypt for help. The modern versions are based on an Egyptian text. The New Testament was not written in Egypt. It was written in Greece, and it was written in Greece. Most of it, or Palestine, wasn't written in Egypt. And the modern versions are written in Egypt, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. Sinaiticus probably written in the early part of the 19th century, although they argued about back then. And Vaticanus probably written about, maybe 350 or sometime way back then, 250. And it was put out by Constantine. And it was hanging around. The early church rejected it. It stayed, and it was in the Pope's library. And finally, the Pope put it out, and he began to promote it. And at the time of the Protestant Reformation, practically all the leaders of the Protestant used the received text. Whether it's Protestants or whether it was the Baptists, they all used the received text. And so the Pope was pushing his Vatican Bible and has been pushing it ever since. And the modern versions are based on photographs of the Pope's Vatican Bible. And I mean, this is documented. And the photographs didn't even agree, for crying out loud. And that's what you guys are recommending. And that's what they recommended Moody. Now, why don't you get out of your bubble and start reading? Turn the BoobTube off for a while and start reading. We give you the books. They're out there. Probably a million of them are circulating. You know, some of you recommend the New ASV. If that is not a rotten translation, you might as well recommend the Jehovah's Witness New World Bible is recommended New American Standard. I know what. Have you ever checked those changes that have been made? I mean, let's go down the list here. I'm just gonna read some. I got a paper right here in front of me. Now here's Luke chapter 2 verse 14. Cast into the offerings of God. Omitted. I am Christ. I am He, the One. Omitted. They struck Him on the face. Omitted. Entire verse, omitted. Luke 23, letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, omitted. Lord, thief on the cross, asking a question, omitted. Begotten, omitted. Preferred before me, omitted. Which is in heaven? See, they ground Jesus right there. It says the Son of God came down from heaven, which is in heaven. Omitted. I just read about a half a dozen scripture verses, and it's all this important stuff is omitted. I'm getting so sick and tired. These guys get on the radio and they say, God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Well, I read in my Bible, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. God got many sons. If you're born again, you're many sons. He doesn't have an only son. He's got an only begotten son. No, that's Jesus. The word is monogenesis. And you hear the word gene. Now, Brother Al, isn't the DNA in your genes?
Yep, and Genesis, origins, mono, one, only.
Yeah, monogenesis, that's your genes. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat the genes of Abraham. He got his DNA. You see that all through the Bible. What in the world are these preachers caught doing that? I mean, you know what it is? Why don't they do something? The books are out there. There's probably a million books circulating, and you guys that are reading these corrupt translations, get off of it. Start to study this thing. You're blaspheming. You're blaspheming God's word. They say no translation is inspired. What a lie. What about the translation of the Old Testament? Is that inspired? That's what they're teaching. So they went down into Egypt, and a guy calls them silly doves. And then he says, I've redeemed them in Hosea, and they've lied against me. That's what you preachers are doing with these modern translations. You're lying against God. They've been changed in thousands of places. You know, the King James Bible is based on 99% of the ancient manuscripts. The modern ones are less than 1%, and they disagree with each other. You study textual history, and in textual history, they call it the eclectic text because Vaticanus and Sinaiticus disagree in 3,000 words in the Gospels, and they come and they run themselves right into a ditch because they say, we don't know what the originals say. Well, thank God we have the Word of God. And all you got to do is believe what the Bible says. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. We got it today. Thank God. Will you read it? You got God's Word. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.